Elizabeth Banks has teamed up with State Street Global Advisors to uncover the bold moves mid-cap companies make to thrive and survive. It's a podcast and film series called Crazy Enough to Work. Discover it online and wherever you find your podcasts. Provided by State Street Global Advisors Funds Distributors, LLC.
With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. It would seem that with the U.S. economy pretty much clicking on all cylinders, interest rate increases by the Federal Reserve in September and December would virtually be a done deal. Well, it's actually not as cut and dry as you might think. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Good news for workers who have seen bigger paychecks largely eaten up by price increases. The Consumer Price Index, which gauges what Americans pay for everything from rent to razor blades, rose a seasonally adjusted 0.2% in August from the prior month, but that was a smaller increase than economists had predicted. A decline in the cost of apparel and medical care helped keep overall price growth modest in August. Another factor helping keep prices in check is a stronger dollar, which makes imported goods relatively more affordable. That's helping to offset price pressures that are tied to tariffs. And for years, airline miles have been among the most widespread perks for consumers who are seeking benefits from rewards programs. Well, now Wall Street Journal retail reporter Suzanne Kapner reports the retailers are also jumping further into the perks game. After years of competing for shoppers with just discounts, retailers are trying a new approach heading into the key holiday season, and that is wooing their biggest spenders with special services and access to private events. Hotel chains and airlines, credit card companies, and luxury retailers have for years offered their best customers special perks that go beyond points and discounts, but the vast majority of retailers are only just catching up. And that's one reason why retail loyalty programs rate so poorly among consumers. Apparel retailers rank second from the bottom out of 15 industry sectors in a recent study of more than 800 loyalty programs.
Sponsored by Harvard Business School Executive Education, offering four comprehensive leadership programs that transform rising executives into confident business leaders. To learn more, visit hbs.me/transform. That's hbs.me/transform.
Most of Wall Street and the investment community agree that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates later this month. But beyond that, that's where things get complicated. Wall Street Journal chief economics correspondent Nick Timiraos joins us from our Washington bureau to sort things out. So, Nick, the Fed is likely to keep its eye on trade disputes and current volatility in emerging markets when looking from September on to a potential rate increase in December.
The U.S. economy is doing very well right now. So if you were just looking at domestic conditions, that would be a reason to continue raising rates this year and certainly into the early part of next year. Where it gets more interesting is if you look at what's happening abroad right now. So far, you've had emerging market volatility that's really only fouled things up for two countries, Turkey and Argentina. And both of those countries have sort of idiosyncratic problems. One concern, though, is that these sorts of strong dollar emerging market volatility episodes tend to start in the places that have the idiosyncrasies, but they don't always end there. And so the Fed is going to keep a close eye on the possibility of emerging market contagion. And related to that, you mentioned trade. Do trade disputes, especially with China, which has strong ties, of course, to a lot of emerging markets, could all of that create a feedback loop that slows global growth, that hits the U.S. stock market, and that forces the Fed to reassess? That's the main wild card to the downside. But for right now, most Fed officials are so focused on the fact that the U.S. economy is doing so well that until the situation abroad gets a lot worse, it isn't going to really change their plans.
And a clue as to what the Fed's plans could be for December and next year could hinge on the presence or absence of the word accommodative in its statement. What's the significance of that word?
It's actually, the issue is that the word isn't all that significant anymore. So for years, the Fed has held rates below the level that they expect would prevail in a kind of a normal economy, an economy at equilibrium. And so they've described their policy stance as accommodative. Now that's sort of old news, and the Fed has been raising rates pretty steadily since the end of 2016. And so at some point that language is going to be stale. There's possibly a debate about whether to just take that language out now, because is it really serving any purpose? And beyond that, the big debate that a number of Fed officials are ready to have is, what should we do with policy once we get rates to a setting that we think is closer to neutral? There's a lot of uncertainty around where that neutral rate is. And the Fed chairman, Jay Powell, has expressed concern about giving false precision around where this thing is, because we really don't have a great idea as to where neutral is. So the argument for dropping the accommodative language in September or even in December would be, look, we know we're not going to be accommodative at some point, but we don't really want to give such a strong signal by taking out that language that we think we're now at neutral, because we don't really know where neutral is. So a reason to drop the language is simply because we know it's getting stale. It's going to be stale at some point, but we don't want to give a lot of precision about where we think neutral is, and we certainly don't want taking that line out to tell people something that we don't really mean to say.
And in recent public comments, Jay Powell really hasn't shown his cards. He seems to indicate he won't rely on past blueprints as to what the Fed faced economically, and he certainly won't look at the idea of, well, that's how we've always done things.
That's right. So at a broad level, there is one camp within the Fed, and this includes some of the staff economists, that is laying the groundwork to continue to lift rates once, even beyond a neutral setting. The concern right now is that the unemployment rate is below where most officials think you would have a sustainable inflation rate. The economy is also growing faster than they think would be sustainable over the long run. So both of those things suggest at some point price pressures are going to pick up, and the Fed really wants to guard against unsustainable inflation. So you have one camp that is laying the groundwork to raise rates beyond neutral. You have another camp that's saying, wait a minute, if we get to where we think a neutral rate is and inflation's at our 2% target, and the economy's doing pretty well, but it doesn't look to be overheating, maybe we can just stop there. So that's a debate that you could see unfold next year. If inflation's stronger, then it argues to continue raising interest rates. But Jay Powell, to your point, really hasn't said which camp that he's more strongly in at this point, and there is still some time to decide.
All right, we will find out what the plan is in September when the Fed meets on the 25th and 26th of this month, and you can listen to it right here on WSJ.com and the WSJ app. That is our chief economics correspondent, Nick Timiraos, joining us from our Washington Bureau. Nick, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.